Welcome to the podcast Design Your Success, the podcast that bridges the gap between human design and business. Every episode shares the inspiring story of a business owner who is real, raw, and honest. Hey, you guys, welcome to another episode of the Design Your Success podcast. This is the podcast where business and human design meet. My name is Nicolina Huizinga. I'm your host. And today I'm incredibly thrilled to have my good friend as a guest, Mel. So good to have you.
It is fabulous to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Excellent. I really am really excited. So please introduce yourself to our listeners.
I'm a girl from the Bronx, as we call it, which means that I'm of a certain age, a New York City girl. And right now I'm a business attraction, collaborations, and an event success coach. And I love helping founders and leaders kind of become more aware that if we don't investigate and learn how to function well in environments where there may not be a lot of trust, that it'll add to the incline in our entrepreneurial journeys. That trust part, I would say, is becoming a passion. Before I did it, I helped people really around events or presentations or speakers or authors and organizations. But that, how do you create a conversation with somebody that hopefully creates a trust opportunity, so they remember your phone number, or they respond to an invitation, or attend your webinar, or introduce you, or just keep the coffee date that you hope to have. So that really is it. It's really about creating conversations and igniting trust opportunities. That's what I'm doing today.
I know that you do. And you are so amazing at doing this, because you always have this. You introduce people to one another, you connect people to one another. It's really I really love what you do, and I'm absolutely thrilled that you're here today.
I am too. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So let's talk about your business first a bit. Like, how did you get started? How did you get started to be an entrepreneur?
So entrepreneurship chose me. That's the original answer. I wanted to be an actress as a young kid, and mom wanted a businesswoman. So mom sent me to school for business, and I ignored it. I worked in a bunch of professional industries in schools and the garment center, and the garment center, the business fell out. And what happened when it fell out was I ended up in promotional products working for someone who I wish I knew his human design. It was not the easiest or most satisfying place. And after 10 years of being there, my friend said, "You've been playing at this. You need to get away from this environment where this person doesn't really support you. And we're going to give you business." So two friends decided to give me $6,000 in orders in a week. They were about to retire. And wow. I was like, "Oh my goodness, what do I do now?" And that is why I say entrepreneurship. And two good friends called the Kathys, and both were teachers. One was a teacher, one was an educator. The Kathys chose me to become an entrepreneur is probably the best way to say it.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. But you made some major changes over the years, right, in your entrepreneurship. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yep. I really am acknowledging, and especially a good reminder this week, it's Mental Health Awareness Month. When I first started that first business, I was in a really dark place working for someone who wasn't very positive. And they helped me use my skills, communication skills, to answer phone calls and study and research, but they weren't a teacher. And I'm a teacher's kid. And that really was the thing. How can I learn about the industry from somebody who doesn't want to share knowledge? And that really evolved into the business. I understand when somebody raises their hand and they have a question and no one's answering it. So when people were looking for how not to be the best kept secret, that was kind of the niche that I set in. When they were looking for a unique gift that wasn't a flush away, that's how I started. After, at year 10, a coach, a dear friend says, "What are you going to do to celebrate your 10 years?" I said, "We're going to have a big party." And I realized, he says, "A big party?" He says, what are you going to do to celebrate the milestone?" I said, "I'd like to start offering workshops, environments where people can just step in and get their questions answered." And I had no idea what to charge. So I'd offered a series of like six workshops. So you could plug in for a slice of pie for like $35 each. And people who joined me for all six, they got like a $30 discount. And they laughed, but that was the beginning of helping others learn to earn, helping others find answers to solutions. I now know when, first business was promotional products and incentives, second business, training and coaching and speaking. But now I'm about to notch it up, thanks to Nicolene, and step out on an umbrella to kind of keep building a larger remote team and find ways to ignite the trust and create more opportunities for others.
Excellent. I love that. And you are a manifester, right? In human design.
Yes, and
Yeah.
thanks to you, I'm finally stepping into that. When someone first shared human design, I was like, "Oh, what in the world are they talking about?" It was somebody during a retreat in Grow Rich book club, and then another business coach who I was interviewing brought it up, and she says, "Oh, you're a manifester," and she was so excited. It was kind of like the waterfall, and I couldn't absorb any of what she was saying.
Yeah, it's a lot. It is a lot. I mean, I hear that when people get into human design and they are all about, it's like learning a new language. There are so many specific words, there's so much slang. And what does it even mean? So, when you get your energy type, and in your case, it's a manifestor, I'm a generator. When you get your energy type, you're like, okay, yeah, and what does that mean exactly? I remember us having a wonderful conversation about being a manifester and how you are a very rare energy type. Only 9% of the entire population are manifestors, and they have this incredible power and vision, and they are literally here to lead. Because you have the leadership capacities as a manifestor, and I'm so happy to hear that you're stepping into that and making that work.
I appreciate you because I think knowing sometimes we have a different voice that people don't always seem to understand. They're like, "What in the world is she talking about?" And also the process of different coaches presenting me, it wasn't the language, because I love when people like yourself, you give us a glossary, you give us a legend so that we can make it eye level and kind of ear level. I think the challenge becomes that first person who really presented it to me in a way where it was a waterfall, she was trying to help me step in and tap into my inner power. And I wasn't alert and attuned and aligned with that voice. I knew that girl who dreamed in full color was there, but I was still taking black and white steps every day. And that, I think, was the difference. When you're ready to receive, and I'm not the biggest law of attraction girl, but when you're ready to open yourself up to the possibility, the universe is like, "Ooh, she needs that information. She needs that answer, or he needs that answer, or they need that answer," because you're trying to do something to make the world a brighter place to live. And I believe when that part of me shifted, when I realized it wasn't just a local business, a presenter at a conference said, "You can be a local business, a lifestyle business, or a global business." And I remember in all the detailed notes on the way home, fortunately, I had an hour ride home. I said, "What would it be like to be a global business?" That is the stepping stone, I believe. I made the decision to step into our international opportunities as opposed to just the local or regional ones. And that, I believe, is what made the space for really tapping into the design. Like, I could hear it. Somebody said, oh, you have a money, your chart shows me you have a money mastery issue. And I had just decided I was a global business. Boy, that's when I really tuned in and listened.
Yeah. It's so wonderful, isn't it? When we get those nudges from the universe, like, you know, when you said the Cathy's chose you to be an entrepreneur. So we get those nudges, and it's the question of, you know, are we paying attention? And are we ready to step into those next steps? Because sometimes we get the nudge and we don't feel ready, and then we let it pass, but it will keep coming back to you like all the time. And at some point when you get it, then you step into it. And I'm happy you're doing that, and you did that in the past. Now, when you look at your entrepreneurial career, what kind of pivotal moments did you have that were, you know, with huge impact that made you change or shift things?
Big one was that conversation with Joe at the 10-year mark. He helped me realize that I had outlived the 5-year plan. And in between year one and year three, I became a full-time entrepreneur. Then it took 2 years to hire my first coach. And until another mark there would be talking to another friend. And she says, oh, you're saying the F word. She meant the fears word. She said, I can hear you expressing your fears. You telling me what you're afraid of. As a friend who wants the best for you, I'm encouraging you to reach out to a coach so that someone else can help you navigate it. Those were the transitional messages. And then you left. I had saved a woman's business card from a trip in 2005. My friend told me, reach out and hire a coach. I did not.
Yeah.
And I had saved a card from 2005. And I finally found the card case. It was the first business card that I had put in there. 6 months after she said this, I found that card. And that reminded me, this was a person in the beginning who helped and supported me with a different voice, different vibe, different education, different background. The diversity part, we're looking for people who can help us open new doors. So picking someone who looks or sounds like us or lives where we're at, finding coaches who were at a level to help you elevate, to help you leverage, to help you lift yourself up. I really think that's the key.
Yeah, I think it's so important because we have our blind spots. We have our own limiting beliefs, and we can get stuck in that, right? And when you get into kind of cycle and a circle where it's very hard to break away from because you're so used to it. And I always have to remember the analogy of two fish in the water. They're swimming and they encounter another fish, and the fish says, how's the water? And the two fishes are like, what water? So they don't know that they are in water. Like, we don't know what we do all day. And we don't ask those questions anymore. And when you hire a coach, that person is asking you the questions that you don't ask yourself anymore. So it's such a great thing that you hired a coach. And especially, I love it what you mentioned as well, that it's a person that you already met and who was already helping you, even like when you were not even her client yet, and yet she was still helping you. And that's what I absolutely believe in, that we give from a place of love, and it will always come back to us one way or the other. And it's not the reason why we should give out of a place of love, but it'll always come back to us, right?
I think, like you said, and the big word in there is transitions. You know, I use that language a lot now in terms of shifts or trying to climb ladders or help other people identify an incline. As an entrepreneur who basically is an introvert at her core, I think I had to learn to really listen to my own intuition, to tap into that inner voice from speaking with talented people like yourselves in human design. And you are amazing at really helping us shorten the learning curve, lightening the load of lightening the lift. Is that in that process, I learned that there was something in my chart that showed where I would get stuck or what stage of life I would get stuck. And I'm like, whoa, I'm paying an incredible amount of attention to it now, to human design, to, and you helped me get aware in a way that I couldn't really translate before. Of transits, when stuff moves around environmentally, it affects me. And it's the reminder we're in our past, our present, and our future as entrepreneurs when we really open our arms to embrace it. But in the beginning, you're in the present. How do I make it through today? You know, and learning to have that, wider lens, I call it a kaleidoscope, keep changing that lens, surrounding ourselves with the different perspectives who can add some richness or just another opinion, another viewpoint, whether we agree or not, you know, whether we take the advice or not, but to have the conversation or the discussion or just listen or just open our eyes a little bit to pause and maybe explore. And with or without a guide, in a, you know, in a safe fashion.
Yeah, so true, so true. And we sometimes we need those nudges. And like you said, whether we agree or not, whether we like it or not, it's always so helpful to have these other perspectives. And just a week ago, I coached one of my clients, and we spoke about his human design and how he was navigating it. And at some point, he was talking about the things that he encountered and that he was struggling with. And basically, what I told him, and I saw that in his human design, like, you know, this is an element that's really important for you. And he just fell silent, and he was like, oh my God, that really is important to me. And I never realized it, but now you're voicing it out loud. Now I, oh my goodness. And he was like, oh my goodness, this changes everything. And for others, it may be like, yeah, duh, it's so obvious that this is important for you. And he was like, oh my goodness, this is going to change everything. And that's why we need those alien eyes. That's why I have a coach. That's why you have a coach. You know, it's we need those alien eyes on our businesses and our personalities to highlight the things that we don't see anymore, or the things that we take for granted.
I love that you're mentioning alien eyes on the Star Wars day. May the fourth be with you. You're reminding us to explore other galaxies with care. You know,
Absolutely,
that's right.
absolutely.
Locate our inner Jedi, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, for according to the Tzolk'in calendar, the Maya calendar, I'm a yellow star. And I don't know if you know the Tzolk'in. It's a Maya way of, well, like the zodiac basically, but they have their own system, and according to their system, I'm a yellow star. And I got my profile read to me 20 years ago, and it said that my mission was to be the light and ignite the light in others. But at the time, 20 years ago, I was like, I don't know how. Is that really for me? I don't know how. But then it's great. I love the Tolkien, but it was not concrete enough for me. But anyway, that message kept with me. And now, I mean, I have my business now for 13 years. So now I know what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to do it. And I even got a tattoo with it on my arm. And this is all about, you know, my mission. It's the reminder of my mission in life. And of course, you know, I love the Tolkien, but human design is my tool to really ignite the light in others. So they step into their true power and what they are meant to be doing here. And that's what I absolutely love about that. So when we go back to your pivotal moments, what were, would you say, the hard parts of, well, the moments that you struggled and that you overcame? What were those moments and how did you do it?
I love what you're saying, because during another pivotal moment, we filled our house with all these Mayan artifacts. So I'm going to look up Tolkien as you're mentioning that. But I think what happens is sometimes you travel or you're exploring to find the answers. And what I had to learn was the biggest thing as the teacher's kid. I was from a lot of questions. What would happen painfully would be I'd have the question. They wouldn't answer with transparency. They wouldn't provide you the information you needed to make an accurate decision. So I became the kid almost, and somebody said it in a chamber. I really appreciate it. He says, "You have no fear." And I had no idea what he was talking about. I think what it was I was raised until a certain point not to accept no. I always worked on the behalf of salespeople. When you were doing something for a salesperson, you had no choice but to do it, or they would tell you it was undone. If you had to make 10 calls to get the one yes to get them an appointment, then you made your 10 calls. If you had to make 20, you made 20. And I think that learning the walls of my internal communication, in the sense of, and I appreciate it through some trust trainings recently, not trusting my own voice or my own sense of who I was surrounded by, or not seeing that maybe the energy had shifted in the room where it was no longer a safe location, where more people who were passive aggressive or really interested in power and control started popping up. And I noticed that in the chambers and picking up, you know, a client who worked in the government, the environments changed. The places we visited changed. And I think the pivotal point is acknowledging that we're uncomfortable. A good friend said, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Mm. I was extremely uncomfortable and I wasn't sharing it until I got home. It was almost concealed behind a veil, a wall, a mask. And that part, I think, is part of what made the struggle harder. Not knowing who to ask the question of. I called my mom one night late after coming in after an event, and she had to work the next day. And I was working from home. And my mom says, "You can't start these kind of conversations with me at 10:30 at night when you come home, because I have to go to work. You're at a life-changing point. It'll take us a weekend to discuss and answer the question you just gave me." And it helped me understand the complexity, that part. We really need help processing the layers, digging in. I love puzzles and games. So me, I would keep digging. Some people, they shut the door in the middle. They close off the access.
Yeah.
And that part, I thought it was me. And it took me a long time to realize it's external. These are things we can't control.
Yeah.
Don't take it personally. Don't feel like no one's listening to your voice. Don't feel like you're not welcome. Don't feel like there isn't a lane for you. You'll find your lane. Just be really patient. Spread some seeds and hope they sprout.
Yeah.
Or ask for help of people who look with smiling, kind eyes like yours. You know?
Yeah. I think it's so important, so vital what you say here that many people, and I don't know if it's just women or mainly women, who start doubting themselves first and not looking externally, but looking at themselves first, like, oh, then there must be something I do, or it must be something I'm lacking. And then at some point, and I know human design is a great tool to get that realization. Like, wait a minute, it's not me, it's the external world. It's not about me. And what I see a lot, especially with manifestors, the female manifestors, yeah, like yesterday I spoke to a female manifestor, and she was not seeing her own power. And she was like, no, but I need to fit in and I need to be part of a community. And I was like, I know you want that. And I know you try hard to do that. But girl, you're a manifester. You're a leader. You're a game changer. You're a trailblazer. This is your role. And it's not that you're made to fit in. As a manifester, you're here to make a huge difference and to lead. And for many women, that's a scary thing to do, I think. How do you look at that, Mel?
I was allergic to leadership until I took a leadership local leadership course in the US. And there were leadership courses in a bunch of counties. And what I found was interesting was my mom said I was the leader as a kid. She said, "Oh, you were like, the vice president of like your senior class." Things I don't even remember,
Wow.
And I think I felt leadership chose me. I was in rooms where no one was raising their hand. And that became my definition of leadership. Somebody would ask me, which it took years to find out that that was part of the human design, that if no one else would show up and do it, you could ask me. And the first woman who asked me to approach leadership in a membership organization that we had been part of, I adored her. She used to be a professor, an engineer who worked at West Point. I adored her. She asked me, would I be on her leadership team? And it was at the end of a really long day. And she asked me, and I said, no. I needed a bite to eat and I needed a beverage. And 20 minutes later, I came back to her and I said, I'm sorry for how specific I was when I expressed that. She says, it's okay because now I know you either make decisions immediately or, as I've observed, you take your time thinking about them. She says, I realize I asked the right person because you gave me an answer to my question. And that I thought it was interesting after a professor who worked at the US at the military academy at West Point. And she says, I'm watching generations of people aspiring to be leaders. She says, you made an immediate decision. She says, that made me realize you were still going to be on top of my list. And she says, thank you for coming back. No need to apologize. Just know I was going to ask you again on another day in a less crowded session. As a leader who trained other leaders, she accepted the answer. She knew that there was more to the story, and she had the patience to help approach it again. Someone had sent her to me, and that person who sent it to me says, don't worry, she won't say no. So when I said no, I think it was really great because it helped. We always had an honest dialogue. She says, I want to always have that honesty and transparency between us of that day when you said no. She says, I already know we're not going to agree. She says, I already know we're going to approach this differently. And one day, the best part of it was I was in leadership and I did something that surprised a professor, teacher's kid creating. And she said to me afterwards, that worked really well, but I was in control of that meeting. And you introduced something new that could have made us late. And my meetings always end on time. And I learned not only leadership, but about the limits, the boundaries. And I think those are part of the lessons. And I loved it because Lisa was my first up close, delicious lesson in a woman with internal power and a great sense in time, you know? And really, really rich. I think sometimes when you have a chance and you find somebody like that, lean in,
yeah,
and listen and learn.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I've had some wonderful female role models in that sense as well. And people who were great at leading themselves, leading others, and teaching others to lead as well. So that was absolutely great. And I'm still lucky to have them in my world. So that's wonderful. So how would you define success? I would love to know.
Success, I define day to day. And I think it's an interesting thing to say as an entrepreneur. I'm learning that success today means having a working internet connection. It means having conversations like the one I'm having with you. That's what makes a successful day. Something that's rich and valuable, adds texture, dimension that I learn from. The days that don't feel like success are days when we feel, and as I say this from working with people, helping them try to locate and manage their energy leaks and drains, those days are the ones that encourage me to wake up the next day and try and have a day with more bells than whistles, more ahas than warnings, more grace than trauma.
Yeah.
And I think that's the part of defining success, of being able to discover joys within a day where you're able to live it on your own terms. Success to me is the last time I saw my dad, having a conversation with him unexpected, where he watched me on a coaching call. And when it was done, he said that he was proud of me. That is success.
Yeah.
Because as entrepreneurs, and I'm grateful to be able to say that, but we don't hear that often. Success sometimes means there's somebody around who encourages you, who, as you said, you're lighting lights. And as I'm working deeper with my coaches, they're like, I had a live, who helps light your torches? Who lights your torches? And it made me realize, from the I am perspective of who you are, success means I need to define I am in today. I need to define one win today, one thing I'm grateful for today, one thing that maybe it wasn't perfect today. And I accept that from the analysis paralysis perspective, but one thing I'd like to try harder on tomorrow, or try a different approach. And maybe it's not tomorrow, maybe it's in a week, but success for today is waking up and breathing and seeing the sun and watching the stars. And
absolutely.
And what I'm calling an extended season of gratitude, grief, and growth.
Yeah.
Success is a little bit of growth, a little bit of green, a new bud, a new flower.
Yeah.
A new step that we can take together.
Absolutely. I love that. I absolutely love that approach, because it's so true. It's so true that those are the elements of success. It's not, of course, money is important. We all agree on that, because we need to pay our bills, right? That's important. But success is something that we are free to define for us. Success for you may mean something else for someone else, and it's all good. For some people, success means six figures or seven figures. That's fine. It's not for me. Success is definitely something else. And and I love it that we are all free to define our success, as we are free to define which way we're going to try to be successful. And that's why I love human design so much, because it gives us a guideline. It's not like a blueprint. It's more a guideline of, this is how you can navigate life in the most easy and relaxed way, And that's what it is. It's not like a label or a framework that fits you in, but it's like, okay, this is a guideline. Follow it if you want to. Yeah. And you're free not to follow it. But it's, and that's why I love it so much. So that's great. I would love to know, and our listeners would love to know, I'm sure, what are your top three lessons or best advice that you could share with them?
The one is to define yourself on your own terms and define yourself. The one is to define, the first one is to define yourself on your own terms, using your own language. And whether it means you journal about it, whether it means you practice that language, define who you are and how you want to show up. The second one would be on the days when we're not sure, maybe those are just days to hang out at home or curl up with a book or reach out to a dear friend or a family member or curl up with your fur baby or a cup of tea or coffee. And the third one would be to create spaces where others can bring their culture, their true selves, and in some cases, a welcoming space where somebody could find a hug, a book, a smile. Our world is running out of spaces like that, that are offering solace and grace. And many people feel that they're not really well protected. But as you were saying before, with steps, they need a place to go. It's somebody to open a door, offer them a seat, show them the light, light the torch. Those would be three things that I would think of.
I love them. I love all of them. And it's so true. It's so true too. And that's, I truly believe that you and I are on the same mission here, especially when I look at the third advice, that we want to create more of those spaces where people feel seen, where people feel accepted, where they feel heard, and where they feel welcome with all of them, like every little aspect of them, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it's all good for them to be there. And I love it that we're more or less on the same mission here. That's wonderful. All right. Thank you so much, Mel, for this wonderful conversation. I could talk with you for hours. You know that.
I look forward to our next conversation, and thank you for the honor of inviting me to speak with you and your amazing audience today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, and we'll stay in touch. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Design Your Success podcast. If you would like to be a guest, make sure to go to our website, www.nicolinahuizinga.com.